Chapter 2. The Blessing of the Seals. What we are about to embark upon in Revelation chapter 6 is an exciting sneak peek and completely accurate account of the future events that are coming upon mankind and all of planet Earth. And, might I add, much sooner than most people would want to believe. It's not a pretty future, frankly, it's shocking to the core, or as Jesus says, it's the worst time in the history of mankind. Yet, this is what is contained within the book of Revelation. It is the real-life future account of what is about to be thrust upon any and all who are left behind after the rapture of the church. One researcher puts it this way.
Early Edition was a popular television program in the early 1990s that featured a young man who regularly received the next day's newspaper a day ahead of time. Because he always knew the future, the man's task in each episode was to save people from a tragedy or problem he had read about in tomorrow's newspaper. So, if he knew a building was going to burn, he tried to keep people from entering into it. Or if someone was going to be hurt by an act of violence, or in an accident, he tried to prevent the encounter from taking place. Most of us would like to have the knowledge that this man did. Yet, we fail to realize that the Book of Revelation is an early edition of future events.
Therefore, you'd think that this truth would make headline news around the world, that is, that we actually have a book on the planet, the Bible, and the Book of Revelation, that gives us a 100% accurate account of what lies ahead for the future of all mankind. No more searching, wondering, hoping, groping. This book is it. You don't need to go anywhere else. It will always steer you right, it is never wrong, just stick with it and enjoy seeing the future 100% accurately all the time, every time. However, the unfortunate irony is, the Book of Revelation, let alone the Bible, seems to be the least read of books today. Not because people don't want to know that future, they do, desperately so. It's just that they are sadly turning to faulty and unreliable sources, like secular psychics or so-called mediums, instead of the Holy Scripture. Yet one look at their track record, versus the Bible that never gets anything it records wrong, reveals how psychics are one of the last places you would want to go to ascertain future events.
What psychics missed concerning world events in just 1 year? Hurricane Sandy and the immense destruction in New York and New Jersey. Largest earthquakes being 8.2 and 8.6 in Indonesia, only two greater than or equal to 8 magnitude in April. Largest death toll from earthquakes being 306 in Iran, 6.3 to 6.4 mag in August, and 139 in Guatemala and Mexico, 7.4 mag in November. Palestinian successful bid to become a UN non-member observer state. Greatly escalating crisis in Syria. Julian Assange and being given asylum by Ecuador but trapped in the United Kingdom. Pussy riot fallout in Russia. Facebook IPO debacle. Aurora, Colorado theater shooting. Newtown, Connecticut school shooting, the worst U.S. school shooting in decades. Death of Whitney Houston, Gore Vidal, Ravi Shankar, Phyllis Diller, Dick Clark, Ernest Borgnine, Andy Griffith. Death of Neil Armstrong, Sally Ride, Patrick Moore, Ray Bradbury. Death of General Norman Schwarzkopf, Rodney King. The Italian cruise ship Costa Concordia running aground, killing 15 people. CIA Director David Petraeus affair and resignation. Discovery / announcement of the Higgs boson. Successful landing of Curiosity on Mars. Any scores / medals / rankings at the Olympics. And the most important event of the year, the end of an era, Twinkies went bankrupt.
Yet in spite of this, people believe that, insert whatever term you want to use - psychics, astrologers, intuitives, etc., can tell the future or advise them in tough decisions. They can't. At least not any better than a random person off the street. And they're much more likely to give you an answer that's too vague to be of any use. And yet, despite being unable to find estimates on how much people spend annually on their services, I was able to find one that says people spend over $300 million annually just on calls to the psychic hotlines. Meanwhile, you go to some of these people's websites and they charge huge sums of money, $50 a reading, $99.99 for a minimum of 15 minutes, or $350 for an hour, $600 for a reading with a 2-month-long waiting list, the amounts are huge. And people pay it too. It's sad when you look at the facts concerning so-called psychics and mediums, isn't it? Yet in spite of this horrible track record concerning the prediction of future events, unlike the Bible that gets it right 100% of the time, our world is still enthralled with these faulty prophets of the future, as these sobering statistics likewise reveal.
Approximate annual earnings of men who have consulted a psychic, $40,000 to $95,000 a year. Approximate annual earnings of women who have consulted a psychic, $20,000 to $100,000 a year. Men average age, between 27 and 54. Women average age, between 21 and 60. How much money women are willing to spend on a psychic medium, up to $5,000. How much money men are willing to spend on a psychic or medium, up to $2,000. Percentage of men who ask their psychic to put a spell or a curse on somebody, 3%. Percentage of women who ask their psychic to put a spell or a curse on somebody, 51%. Percentage of men who admit having contacted a psychic, 39%. Percentage of women who admit having contacted a psychic, 69%. Percentage of men who would recommend consulting a psychic, 28%. Percentage of women who would recommend consulting a psychic, 68%. Percentage of divorced women who have consulted a psychic, between 57% and 63%. Percentage of divorced men who have consulted a psychic, between 21% and 29%. Percentage of women who would consult a psychic on sentimental matters, 85%. Percentage of men who would consult a psychic on sentimental matters, 11%. Percentage of women who would consult a psychic on career professions matters, 35%. Percentage of women who would consult a psychic more than once, 53%. Percentage of men who would consult a psychic more than once, 11%. Approx. Number of women in the United States who have spent more than $5,000 for psychic reading in 2011 to 2012, $375. Approximate number of men in the United States who have spent more than $5,000 for psychic reading in 2011 to 2012, $5,000. Approximate number of women in the United States who have spent more than $10,000 for psychic reading in 2011 to 2012, $275,000. Approximate number of men in the United States who have spent more than $10,000 for psychic reading in 2011 to 2012, 300. Approximate annual earning of a very successful psychic or medium in the United States, over $5 million. Percentage of psychics mediums who would not give you a refund, 97%. Approximate amount earned by psychics mediums who have scammed clients in 2011 to 2012, $200 million.
Wow. Talk about a total ripoff. These hucksters are not only handing out faulty information, but they're obviously simultaneously draining people's finances as they are becoming millionaires themselves. Why? All because people want to know the future. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, the very same report also indicated that so-called members of the clergy had also consulted a psychic/medium and jointly conducted so-called exorcisms, and these same clergy or priests even went on to say that they consider themselves to be a psychic or medium. Furthermore, if you can believe it, this report even shared how 99.99% of these psychics actually claim to believe in God. Yet they, and the people who seek out their faulty advice on the future, are clearly not listening to the one and only real God who forbids this activity.
Deuteronomy 18:9-14. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so.
Why? Because it's a demonic practice that opens up the door to demonic deception, and God doesn't want you deceived. He wants you to know the future, that's why He has accurately recorded it for us in the Bible. The truth about future events can only be found in his book, the Bible, not demonic psychics or mediums. The other problem people have with knowing future events is not only going to unfortunate faulty sources outside the Bible, but it's also in having a faulty attitude towards the future events contained in the Bible, that is the book of Revelation. Believe it or not, there is a trend in the church today where Bible prophecy and the book of Revelation especially is not only on the downside of teaching and preaching from the pulpit, but many people in the church are now calling the book of Revelation a book of doom and gloom, and thus they say it shouldn't be taught from the pulpit or even read by the individual Christian. The problem is that's not what the Bible says.
Revelation 1:1-3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near.
As you can see, contrary to the doom and gloom skeptics, God says, not once, not twice, but you will experience a triple-fold blessing if you study Bible prophecy. He didn't mince words. Right out of the gate, he made it clear how people will be blessed if they read, hear, and take to heart this prophetic message concerning Jesus Christ in the last days, that he's coming back in the future, which is what the book of Revelation is all about. This is not even counting the fourth promise of a blessing at the back of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, so it's really four.
Revelation 22:7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book.
I think it's pretty clear in the Bible that if you want to be blessed by God in your walk with God, what do you need to be studying? Bible prophecy, right? Yet, why is it then that many people, even in the church, would say it's not a blessing to study Bible prophecy, when God clearly says that it is? Why do they say these same oft-repeated remarks of, don't make me read this. Don't make me hear this week after week after week. Don't make me take this to heart. This is freaking me out. Stop. This is doom and gloom. Why would they do that, when the Bible clearly says that studying Bible prophecy, that is, future events, is a source of blessing? Personally, I think one reason is due to a spiritual factor, that is, spiritual warfare. Put yourself in the enemy's shoes. The devil is not dumb. He knows what he's doing. If he is about that close, so to speak, to pulling off the Antichrist's kingdom, then it's common sense. What's the last book you want people in? The Bible, and specifically Bible prophecy, especially the book of Revelation, because that's where you find out in intimate detail all his plans and what he's up to. The Bible is the only book on the planet that exposes what Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be doing in the last days. It's all right there for anyone to read, so the enemy of our souls keeps us out of it by spreading this lie in the church today, that it's bad to study Bible prophecy, that it's scary, it'll split your church, it's doom and gloom. The result? The church is left clueless as to what he's up to in the last days, even though they are the only ones on the planet who have the only book on the planet, the Bible, that exposes his dastardly plans for the future in great detail. The second reason I believe this false message of doom and gloom concerning the study of Bible prophecy has spread in the church is the ironic factor, that is, little do the churches and pastors who refuse to teach on Bible prophecy realize that they are actually fulfilling Bible prophecy. In fact, this behavior is one of the biggest signs that we're in the last days.
2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths.
Here we see how the Apostle Paul tells young pastor Timothy that in the future, when you are getting close to the last days, a time will come when people in the church will not put up with sound doctrine. In other words, they're not going to like hearing the Bible. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear and turn aside to myths. What's interesting is that the Greek word there for itching is nepho, which means, to desire only that which is pleasant, and myths there in the Greek is mathos, which literally means, stories made up. So according to the Bible, how do you know you're living in the last days? When you see in the church the only things you get from the pulpit, by and large, are pleasant things and a bunch of stories made up. I just described to you about 90% of the American church. This is why many churches, pastors, Bible study leaders/teachers won't preach on prophecy. The irony is, they are actually fulfilling prophecy, in a bad way. Yet they don't know it because they refuse to study the very thing that warns them against it. My question, though, as a shepherd myself, is how in the world can you be a faithful shepherd if you skip nearly one-third of the Bible that deals directly or indirectly with Bible prophecy? Are you saying it's not a blessing to the sheep when God so blatantly says to the contrary that it is? Are you smarter than him? Do you know more than him? Why would you, a shepherd who professes to love the sheep, want to keep the sheep from a blessing? Is that being a loving shepherd? Is that showing genuine concern for them? Besides, as a shepherd, we're supposed to teach the flock the whole counsel of God, not just some of it. And who makes you the arbitrator and what gives you the right to decide which portions of the Bible are good versus bad for God's people when God says it's all good, it's all from him, especially Bible prophecy? The facts are, Bible prophecy is some of the best news we could ever hear as Christians, and it is the much-needed antidote to deal with the perilous days we live in where evil abounds. The book of Revelation is not doom and gloom. Rather, it reminds me that I'm going to heaven, a place beyond my wildest dreams. I'm going to the millennium where my greatest adventure waits, and best of all, I'm going to see my King, face to face, who loves me and who won for me an amazing life for all eternity. What a blessing that news is, and it's all obtained when you read, hear, and take to heart the prophetic events that are 100% accurately recorded for us only in the Bible. The more I study them, the more I am reminded that in Jesus Christ, as a Christian, I am a winner, not a loser. I am blessed beyond measure. What a future is in store for me. In fact, nobody has a brighter, more secure future than God's people. Why would I not want to read about that? As a shepherd, why would I not want to tell the sheep that? Bible prophecy is the most relevant and exciting topic we could be studying today as the church, gaining all kinds of blessings as this researcher agrees.
Now we have arrived at Revelation 6. Revelation 6-18 deals with a 7-year period called the Tribulation, Matthew 24:21 and Revelation 7:14. This section makes up almost 2/3 of the book of Revelation. This should cause us to stop and ask, is Revelation relevant? If so, why should we spend time studying the tribulation period when we believe that we will be raptured prior to this time?
Studying the tribulation serves several important purposes. Number 1, all scripture is important and worthy of our careful study and application to our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Number 2, we learn a great deal about the nature of man, God, and Satan. Number 3, as we see the signs of the coming tribulation developing before our eyes, it fills us with hope and expectation that the Lord's coming is near. Number 4, though we won't live through the tribulation if we know the Savior, the Lord Jesus loves to take his own people into his confidence and tell them what is going to happen, even if it doesn't directly affect their own lives. Number 5, the tribulation should scare the living daylights out of us. God's holiness, as expressed through his justice and wrath, should overwhelm us. It should spark a newfound appreciation for his love and grace.
The names of the tribulation. The indignation, Isaiah 26:20, 34-2. A day of God's vengeance, Isaiah 34:8, 63-1-6. Jacob's trouble or distress, Jeremiah 37. Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:24 27. A time of trouble or distress, Daniel 12:1. The end time, Daniel 12:9. The day of the Lord, Joel 1:15 and chapter 2 verse 1 also in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Tribulation and the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:9 and verses 24 and 29, also in Mark 13:19 and verse 24, also in Revelation 7:14. The hour of testing, to test those who dwell on the earth, Revelation 3:10. The great day of their, i.e., the Father and the Lamb, wrath, Revelation 6:17. Hour of his judgment, Revelation 14:7. The nature of the tribulation. It is a time of unprecedented trouble, Joel 2:2, Zephaniah 1:14-18, Matthew 24:21. It is a time of God's wrath or indignation and the vindication of God's holiness, Zephaniah 1:15-18, Revelation 6:17, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Revelation 14:7 and 10 also chapter 19-2. God's wrath against man's sin and rebellion will be withheld no longer. It is a day of utter darkness, gloom and extreme cloudiness, Joel 2:2, Zephaniah 1:15. It is a day of destruction and global catastrophes, Joel 1:15, 2-3, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Revelation 6-19. It is a day of extreme lawlessness, sin and demonic activity, Revelation 9:20-21, 2 Thessalonians 2:12. It is a day of extreme deception and delusion, 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12, Revelation 9:1, 13-2-3, 11-18, Daniel 8:24. This deception is caused by a number of factors. A. The remover one of the Spirit indwelt church with its restraining influence, 2 Thessalonians 2:6-8. B. The increase of demonic activity, 2 Thessalonians 2:8-10. C. The blinding judgment of God, 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. It is a time of death, Revelation 6:3-11, 9:15-18, 11:13. Large portions of the populations of the earth will be wiped out suddenly, both human and animal. It is a time of utter negative volition, cold indifference, and rebellion against God, even though the world will know it is under the wrath of God, Revelation 6:14-17, 9:20, 11:10-18. It is a time of internationalism religiously, Revelation 17, politically, Revelation 13:17, economically, Rev.18, and militarily, Joel 3:2, 9-14, Revelation 17. It is a time of extreme antisemitism, Revelation 12, Matthew 24:9, 13. It is a time of unprecedented apostasy and blasphemy against God, Revelation 11:1, 13-1, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It is a time of the martyrdom of believers, both Jew and Gentile, Revelation 6:9, 7:14. It is a time of global and universal war, human and angelic, Revelation 6 2-4, 16:14, 19:14, Joel 3 2:9, Revelation 12:7.
Number 6. The tribulation should also sober us. It should lead us to take our lives more seriously and to live them according to eternal values. As a result, we will not put so much attachment upon the things of this earth, once we see what will become of them. We will also live more thoughtfully for eternity, finding our source and satisfaction in God. Number 7. The tribulation should compel us to go out into our world as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, delivering people from the wrath to come. Believe me when I say that no human being will want to go through this time. If all of these terrifying events don't cause us to tell others about Jesus Christ, what will?
Sounds to me like there are a lot of blessings in there that I don't want to miss out on. In fact, I've often wondered why the church today seems to be so anemic. Where's the power gone? How about the passion? Why are souls not being saved like we hear in stories of yesteryear? Why are we no longer making much of a difference to the moral decay and spiritual darkness surrounding us? Where's our salt? Where's our light? Why and how have we become so worldly-minded and seem so lost ourselves? Maybe it's because we've been tricked into losing out on the very thing that staves off all these detrimental factors. Maybe we're not studying the blessing from God, Bible prophecy. It's a vital, powerful, and relevant blessing to the body of Christ. I didn't say that, God did. The facts are, one of the fastest ways to get that salt and light and passion back for the lost while removing the power-draining worldliness that surrounds us, is to simply get back to reading, hearing, and taking to heart Bible prophecy. It tells us the good news that we are not saved for this world, but the world to come. We are not losers, but winners. Our future is brighter and more secure than anyone else on the whole planet. Things are looking up, not down. So, if you want to fire yourself or the church up again, then let's get back to studying Bible prophecy. That journey begins in the next chapter.